Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in internet land. This is John Stanko, your host for Your Purpose Quest. And I have the delight and pleasure of talking to an author today, first-time author. They're always so good to talk to because they're enthusiastic, and this author especially, I know, is one with great enthusiasm. What a story she has. So without any delay, I want to bring on today's guest, Angela Cheng. Angela, let's see, there you are, and welcome to Your Purpose Quest.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good to have you on the show. I'm holding in my hand a very nice cover and the title, Finding God's Goodness in Unexpected Places. And you are the author. What's it feel like to have a book that is out in circulation?
Oh, I love it. I never imagined writing a book. But it's what I envisioned. I love the way it feels. I love opening and smelling a new book. And I love the color and the simplicity of the simplicity of how it looks too.
Yeah. You did a great job, and you certainly had a hand in designing it. And you've been getting some pretty good feedback, haven't you, from people who know you and don't know you, who have been accessing and reading the book.
Yeah, it's been out about a month and a half. Mm-hmm. And people that have read it have felt inspired, encouraged, and I'm excited to hear the stories that come from it, from people that are that read it and what grabs their heart.
Yeah, it's addictive. You know, once you start getting that feedback, you start thinking, and I'll bet you're thinking about the next project, because you have a very interesting call and ministry, and you have profound things that have happened to you. Now, I'm looking at the back of the book. We have a family picture, and your family is fairly young. How were you able to find the time, carve out the time? You know, one of the things I hear from authors or would-be authors is, I just don't have the time. What can you tell somebody who's saying that? Because now you've done it in the midst of some, you know, some challenging life circumstances, and, you know, being a mom of young children. How are you able to do it?
That's a good question. I think from the help of the body of Christ. I wrote it, like the manuscript for it, about 6 weeks. And it was when my two oldest kids that were they're 9, 6, and 3. That's what I have in my hands right now. But they were at summer camp at church. And then I had someone from church helping my youngest. And so then, I knew it was something God wanted me to do for my healing, part of my healing journey. So it was like being intentional with my time. Okay, I'm dedicating these 2 hours a couple mornings a week to write, to just get it out. Intentionality, knowing it's of God and it's for me, but it's also for his purposes, to bring encouragement to the body of Christ.
And you certainly have done that, and created something you should be very pleased with, and that I know God is going to use. So you know, you talked about the healing process in your own life, but tell our listeners a little bit about Angela Cheng, your growing up, your background, and maybe get into some of the things that you include in the book, and we'll see where we go from there.
I grew up on a family farm in Wisconsin with not a lot of culture around me, had a good childhood. And it was in my mid-20s that I had a a big life change in that I surrendered to Christ as him being my savior, as letting him lead my life. And it changed the trajectory of my life. And I left, I was in the marketing business world for a couple of years and working on my master's. And I stopped that, kind of had a quarter life crisis and went to do a missions discipleship course. And it took me to different places and done things that I never envisioned I would do by the grace of God and empowered by the Spirit. And, yeah, as I mentioned in the book, I've traveled to 35 nations. I lived in Southeast Asia for 15 years. And, yeah, I still, with my childhood, I'm a lover of the quiet and nature. That's something that is a delight and brings me joy and family and friendship with God. On the flip side of that, I'm a lover of large urban Asian cities full of noise and culture and wonderful street food. And I love the nations and God's heart to see the nations know him. And I'm a lover of sipping tea and chatting with people about the things of God and what God's doing in their life and what they're learning. Yeah, so that's a little bit about me. And the book really is to testify, like, in the midst of this last year and a half, we moved back to the States after living in Asia. The book is really to testify of God's goodness, of holding on to his faithfulness in great trials and suffering.
Yeah.
And
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
The chapters, how I laid out the book is different geographical locations or different moments from my story. Of some of them are hardships, some of them, being in the nations, and where God met me in it, what he spoke in the moment. And at the end of each little short story is a couple reflection questions to engage the reader in where is God's fingerprint in your story and from reading mine.
Yeah, I think that is such an important addition to the book. You're helping people process what they've read, so they're not just being entertained, which was, for all of us as writers, we are holding people's attention, but you want people to grasp the lessons that you've learned and maybe some other lessons. So I thought that was and is a very important part of the book. I was going to ask you earlier, you tell the story of going to Thailand, I believe, and learning the language. Talk about the challenges that surrounded that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so as I mentioned, I in my mid-20s, I went to do a discipleship training course, and during that school, every week we would pray for a different nation, and one week we were praying for Thailand and learning about children being affected by the sex trade, and I felt like the Holy Spirit speak to me to go and bring healing in his name to this area in Thailand. Never been there, but went on a survey trip or a vision trip over to Southeast Asia for the first time. Came back with more questions that I didn't answer, but I knew in my spirit, my heart, like, to go there long term. And so I went there and got connected with the missions organization that I'm still serving with, YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And my first year and a half, my whole ministry was learning the language. Five towns, a slew full of different characters. And it was stretching. It was humbling to be an adult and learn a language and getting out baby sounds and spending so much of my day commuting on the city bus, being in a classroom, trying to learn this language, where my heart was, like, I want to be out there. I want to be, like, with the people. But I needed the language in order to connect with the people. I was like, if anything, it was humbling. And during how I would phrase that time, like, if anything good was going to come out of me, it was going to be God. because I just saw, I saw my shortcomings with learning another language.
Yeah.
But yeah, years later, I end up leading. I led a ministry for 5 years in Thai, discipled people in Thai. One of my favorite things is still worshiping the Lord in their language. So there is fruit that comes out of perseverance and humility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and it really is. You have to become so childlike because you're learning from day one, and not just the language but the culture. And now you talk in the book about, you know, there were those early days and months was a very lonely time, but you had an experience on a Thai beach around a holiday that I think impacted your life deeply. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah. So yeah, I went over there as a single person. I never really struggled with like loneliness or singleness until I moved there and felt the isolation in language and being a newbie in community surrounded by a lot of married couples.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first Christmas away from family, all the others seemed to be doing something. I'm like, what am I going to do? So I picked up last minute and went down to a beach just for a couple of days to get away. And one morning when I was on the beach having my time with the Lord and the Word and just journaling, writing, I looked up and I saw a shorter Asian man with a taller white woman, and they had three Asian-looking children. And I felt impressed in my heart to remember it. Like, this is significant in my story. So I wrote it down. And then I was like asking, dialoguing with the Lord, what is this? Is this a picture of my future? Am I going to be, after language study, going to be running an orphanage, a children's home where I'm a spiritual mother of children and, you know, Asians have surrounded me in this? Or is this, for me personally, like I had surrendered marriage. I was in my late 20s when I moved to Thailand. And I'm like, with that was a surrendering of marriage for, you know, like, yeah, to do what the Lord called me to do. So I didn't know, but wrote it down a couple years later. I'm back in the States and I was in a prayer chapel and I felt like the Lord's said, what are you looking for in a husband? And I wrote that down, a man of missions, a man after God's heart, a man that I'm like physically, romantically, emotionally attracted to, and that we enjoy each other's company. And it was during that time where Paris came in my life, and he's my husband, he's Asian, and we do now have three kids here on earth with us. So yeah, it's during that time of loneliness, the Lord was giving me a promise to hold on to, and I didn't really know what it meant, but I think of God and how his kindness, that he really wants to meet with us in our places of suffering, of loneliness, that of giving us seeds of hope for what he has for us next.
Mm-hmm.
So I write about that in a chapter of the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the title is Finding God's Goodness in Unexpected Places, and that was an unexpected place. Now, you had a vision of three children on the beach, and you have three children, but it's not as simple as that, is it? There was a journey and an unexpected place involved in motherhood. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So both my husband and I knew like that it was that we were going to have three children, and the Lord actually, when I was single and having a time with the Lord, I felt like the Lord gave me the birth order. Didn't have a husband on the horizon, was in a city where there was no potential of good men coming in my life in Thailand. And I felt like you said, like, you are going to get married and this is the birth order. So I had my girl, I had my boy, and I thought, okay, the next one is going to be a girl. And after our second child, I had 3 miscarriages. And man, like, yeah, being in a foreign country, not with family, not really knowing the process of a miscarriage, because most of my friends were married and having kids in the States when I was living over there, was just, again, a trusting in the Lord and mm-hmm. bearing my emotions before Him. And so I wrote in the book about the miscarriages and what God was saying in it during that time. And I had, after the third miscarriage, I went to receive some inner healing ministry prayer. And at the end of it, the woman that was ministering to me said, I feel like it's not 3, but it's 6. There's actually a double portion. Like, there's 3 in heaven and 3 on earth. And that's how it is. Like, I see, yeah, the three miscarriages, that one day our family will see them, and that we have 6 children. And yeah, it's a part of our family story. Like, my little kids at home, they know that they have siblings in heaven. And there's that hunger for heaven, like, and when you walk through loss, when you walk through death of a loved one, and you walk through miscarriages, the hope of heaven becomes even that more tangible, that, yeah, mm-hmm. something yeah. to look forward to.
That's a great point. You know, we are pilgrims. We are passing through, you know, as much as, you know, God roots us in this life and gives us a purpose and some things to do. It really I can see how it imparted a heavenly understanding and vision for you. And I think you indicate in the book, you thought Asia was kind of a forever thing or a long-term thing, but God, again, had something else in mind. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so we came back to have our third child. We came back in COVID in March 2020 when the world was kind of shutting down. We were serving in I was in Thailand for 10 years and then Cambodia for 5 years, where my husband was born in Cambodia, and I was a high-risk pregnancy because I was over 40, and they don't have NIC units there, and so my husband kind of foresaw that coming. He's like, we need to go back to the States to have a baby, and in the flurry of packing everything up in a day to move back here, during that time, I felt like God was saying, like, maybe this is a transition, like, not just during COVID, but for your family. With, and then when we were back here for, it ended up being 7 months of being kind of displaced from community, our life, our community, living on my parents' farm. There was that nudge in my heart, like, to buy a home and root ourselves in the States. And my husband's like, "What is this? Like, this isn't like who I married." Like, so we just. Yeah, we prayed, we talked about, we're talking through it, and we ended up going back to Cambodia. But before we did that, we visited other ministries here in America that were working with Asian refugees and serving in the community with children, because that's always been our ministry, is like, slum ministry with children. And we knew that Pittsburgh would be our next after Asia. Like, and so that kind of, like, yeah, it took us by surprise, but also, like, I've just found, like, when God speaks something in my heart, however unanticipated or unexpected it's been, like, if it's of Him, there's this peace and this courage and this trust that there's goodness in it. And so to trust the process and trust His goodness. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that we were going to move back to the States.
Mm-hmm.
So we're living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we're serving with our missions organization, YWAM. And that whole process has been filled with unexpected things.
That's for sure. But we're glad to have you in Pittsburgh, and we also fellowship at the same church. So which is a very cross-cultural church. So you mm-hmm. embellish who it is that we are and what you do. So you come back to Pittsburgh, and everything is going pretty well, right? I mean, no problems. No unexpected places, or am I incorrect?
I wish that was true. We moved here in August 2021 and kind of came here with, like, I just need to settle. During COVID, we were traveling. It was filled with so many unknowns. Taking three kids on numerous flights during COVID restrictions and COVID testing, so much trauma. So the mama heart in me that's trying to hold the family together and pack and unpack, I was just ready to settle in a place after that. I think many of us, like, we have unresolved trauma from COVID and all the upheaving it's done in our lives. So we landed, and a week after landing, ending up in Pittsburgh, my husband and I both got COVID. And he got progressively worse, and he ended up in the ICU, near death, near vent, and I'm in a new city with three littles, in a new America. I haven't lived here in 15 years, and trying to navigate medical systems compared to what I was used to in Asia. Walked through that, and by the grace of God, he had a miraculous turnaround, and 11 days after being in the hospital, he was released. But then a month after that, we went to Colorado to do a missionary debriefing, and the last day I found a lump on my neck. Got into an appointment the day after getting back to Pittsburgh, and I found out that it was melanoma cancer, which is a form of skin cancer, and it was stage 3, an aggressive one. And so since really moving here, it was life and death situations. And then, walking through, our kids have never been in winter, all the sicknesses that you get with that. We had ER visits with my kids, and then just deep grief and loss from transitioning from life overseas in a third world country to life in America that looks completely different from when I left. So it's been intense, and yet it's been rich beyond measure with being anchored in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and somebody listening, Angela, maybe just again saying, how is that possible? Hearing what you're saying, the miscarriages, the transitions, the sickness, again, the unexpected places that God has taken you to, they're just saying that it is a paradox. But you have found the Lord in ways that you never would have found him if you hadn't gone through these things. He's proved himself to you. Is that correct? And if so, can you just expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I think life is full of paradox. If we allow it, and it's been the most, I think in any of our lives, we can have the greatest challenges or the greatest struggles, but if we open ourselves up, it can be rich. That's what I'm finding, rich in the sense of God's goodness. I've been holding on to these four P's. One is presence. I did a year of cancer treatment, immunotherapy, and every other week sitting on a chair in the Cancer Institute And I'm like, I'm reframing this. It's going to be my chair of presence, that God's presence is here. And so his presence before surgeries that I've had, like, there's nothing other than, like, if we invite God's presence into the place where we are, and then his peace is my second P. The peace that surpasses all understanding. And then the third P for me during this time is provision. Like, my family as missionaries, we live by faith. We don't get a paid salary. And we have had bills over our head, medical bills. And we have not been in debt. And it's by the grace of God and him providing through his people right when we need it. So God is the God of more than enough. If we put our trust in him, we seek him. And then my fourth P is promises. I've always been in the word since a believer, but like this season of clinging to his promises, no matter what doctors say, the doctors don't have the final say, the Lord has the final say. And so what am I going to believe? What am I to hold on to his promises? And so I encourage anyone that's listening to this to hold on to these P's and the paradox of life. Yeah.
And that may be the fifth P.
Paradox. Yeah. My kids and
you heard it first here on your purpose quest. But yeah, that's good. Presence, peace, provision, and promises. And and in the midst of paradox.
Yeah, my family and I, we learned this during a debriefing at our dinner table. We have a pair of ducks, like these rubber ducks that you can get at the Dollar Tree, and one is a yellow one, and the other one is blue, and we put a Sharpie, like little wounds on it. And in our day, like what was the good and what was the bad or what was the ugly or what was the hard piece that, like, in the same day, you can have both these good and these hard things. And it's not either or. It's like holding both of those before the Lord, like a pair of ducks, but a paradox. It's a play on words.
A paradox,
just,
yeah.
that
could be right, a chapter, paradox, yeah.
And that's like a lot of our life. Like it's not one or the other, but to find beauty and to find God in both.
Yeah. And this, you know, and I've from some of the, and I haven't faced some things the depth that you have, but all this certainly makes us more empathetic and more in tune with other people, doesn't it? And their hardships, their difficulties, having experienced them yourself, you can identify with women who have had a miscarriage or a young mother who's struggling with a disease that they didn't expect. And I would think it enhances your ministry.
I sure hope so. Yeah, and I am finding that, like, having lived through something, there's a compassion and a passion, like a passion for health and wellness and living in balance and, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I know you've and you say in the book, you know, after your bout with cancer, you made a lot of dietary and lifestyle changes. But there's one food that seems to emerge, if I can call it food, again and again, and that's cake. Talk to us about cake and the role that it has in your life.
Yeah, I think I mentioned in the chapter of miscarriages that one of my friends, in our mourning and grieving brought over some cupcakes, a cake that I really enjoy. And in right now, currently with, I am doing all of this like raw whole food, plant-based eating and food as medicine as a part of healing my body. And one of my favorite things to treat on, because I've cut sugar, is like a raw vegan cheesecake. And I guess reframing even that, like it's not depriving myself of something, but like how can I modify, how can I change things so that I'm still enjoying the enjoying things. And so cake has been an element of, like, in grief, someone bringing over cake. And even, like, when we moved back from Cambodia to America for good, my husband and two older kids flew before me and my baby because of COVID restrictions. And so I was stuck with my baby in Cambodia an extra week. And I felt like God told me one morning to buy cake from the Japanese bakery that I loved over there. That night I just had cake, and I felt like the Lord said, okay, will you give back Asia to me? Like, there's a new thing coming. And it was like, I was crying and I was eating my cake. And so cake has been an element of grief and also of celebration. And isn't food that way? Like, in culture, like, we, the way of the table and, like, sitting around the table and fellowship and food happens around, it happens around food. It happens around, like, for me, let's get some friends together and have some good cake.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about your title for your next book. We could do Piece of Cake, and it could be P-E-A-C-E, you know, all the things you just said, being yourself, you know, having to, adjust your lifestyle, but still looking for things that that are consistent with the tastes and who God made you to be, and the whole aspect of fellowship, covenant, you know, in the Bible, when you ate with somebody, it was solemn. And that's what makes what Judas did so heinous, that he broke bread with Jesus and then he betrayed him. So anyway, I didn't intend to make this a coaching session for your next creative project, but these things just keep popping up in my head. Angela, tell people, our listeners, as we get ready to wrap up, how they can get in touch with you, anything you want to tell them about your ministry or just anything that will help our listeners connect with you on an ongoing basis, and even how to get the book.
Yeah. If you'd love to order the book, you can do so on Amazon, Finding God's Goodness in Unexpected Places. Or if you want to order 20 or more books, contact me via email, happy, H-A-P-P-Y, B as in boy, C as in cousin, U as in unicorn, Z as in zebra at yahoo.com. Or I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well. And then currently of what we're planted in what in Pittsburgh, we're serving with a missions organization that we've served the last 20 years with called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And here in Pittsburgh, we run DTSs, which stand for Discipleship Training Schools for young people, in fall and spring. And it's a five-month course where you have the opportunity to know God at deeper levels, to learn about the nations and God's heart for the nations, and then go on a missions trip. And then we also run like a summer missions discipleship training for high schoolers called Joshua Generation, and work with refugees and basketball outreach. And for me personally on team, I'm like in a coaching mentoring role and involved in worship and intercession. And my husband has been doing basketball outreaches and working with refugee kids ministry. And we're still, last year was so much survival and coping that my husband and I are like in this recovery reentry phase as missionaries, with unpacking our lives overseas and grief. And so there's also in me this, like, because of what's happened in our lives, these life and death situations, there's this curiosity about, like, what God has for us here may and probably looks completely different than what we envision coming here for.
Mm-hmm. And one final question I meant to ask you earlier. You submitted more endorsements for your book than most authors do that I work with. And it just seemed to me that relationships in ministry are really important to you. As could you comment on that? It just seems like even though you've traveled a lot, you've maintained relationships. Is that an accurate assessment, and why has that been so important?
I think, yeah, thank you. I think what happens when you, my personal experience in hearing other missionaries that have lived overseas, you move somewhere, a third world country, and you are away from your family. You're in a different culture, in a different language, and so the family of God becomes your family because blood family isn't around you. So you go deep fast. You know, when I had to go to the ER in the middle of the night with a miscarriage, I rang. You know, I telephoned one of my sisters in Christ to come and watch my kids. And so the family of God, and even though we don't speak the same language, we're connected spiritually. There's depth, and you should have those stories together, just like a natural family has their stories together. And so, you know, I have these heroes of the faith, these models from overseas that I think even though we're apart, we're always connected. They're people I aspire to be with, people I share memories with. I think that's really why.
It seemed like they were eager to share them with you too. I mean, they responded and they wrote some beautiful things, not only about the book but about you. And I think that shows that you have lived that. You're just not talking about that, but you have are part of the body of Christ, and you've worked to maintain your connections with the parts that you're closest to, and I commend you for that. And this book is just another expression of that, of you wanting to not only connect with them, but connect with more people to share your story, your testimony, and I congratulate you. Many people talk about getting to this point, but with three young children and health challenges, they don't seem to be able to do that, but you have. And it was certainly a joy and is a joy working with you, and thanks for enduring with us as we walk through a process. I've never met you, even though we live in the same city and go to the same church. But Angela, any final thoughts, anything we didn't cover on the book or your testimony or your ministry or anything else you want to say in closing as you sign off?
Yeah, just if you or someone you know is going through a rough or walking through loss or storm after storm or got a depressing medical diagnosis, buy the book and be encouraged to see God through my God story, because my hope is that as you read it, it will cause you to find like the fingerprints of God's goodness in your story, and may inspire you, encourage you to keep believing God for the impossible, that he will show himself strong in your unexpected place of testing trial. That's my prayer for those that read it, that they receive something of the Lord through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the questions make it good, not just for an individual to reflect on what you're writing, but this could be used for group discussion too, families and as you said, people who are going through places that they perhaps never anticipated or even expected in the Lord that they would. Angela, thank you for your time. Thanks for your commitment to the Lord and your service to the body of Christ. And may God continue to bless you and yours and this project, and may he take it to places that you never anticipated. And when you're ready to publish it in Thai, let me know.
All right. Well, thank you. God bless. And thanks for walking me through this process. It's been a joy in writing and working with you in it. So I thank you as well.
Well, my pleasure, and my best to your family. And thanks again. We'll stay in touch.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have Angela Cheng, author of Finding God's Goodness in Unexpected Places, available through Amazon, both in paper and Kindle formats. And you can get in touch with Angela. Her email is happybecause, HappyBcuz. @yahoo.com, or you can check out Angela Cheng on Facebook. I found it pretty easily, and you should too. Well, that is about it for this interview and for this day, and thank you for joining me on this broadcast of Your Purpose Quest. And until we're together again, you be about the purpose in your life. And if Urban Press, my publishing company, can help you publish your story, then you feel free to get in touch with me. All you have to do is Google me, and you will find me. So anyway, that's it for now, and we look forward to being with you again very soon. So long.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.